At the end of every single semester, I feel like I've learned a lot and become wiser. I feel like now I can fight almost every single fear I've had last semester, and I've sorted quite a lot of things for the future. Then 2 months pass away and I realize that, oh crap, dude, I don't know how to handle this one. It means that no matter how smart you are, how peaceful you've learned to be, there would be some new challenge that tests you. And even though you thought you'd know everything, you realize there is still a lot to learn and go through. This episode is going to be a little longer than previous ones because now we are left with the last 3 episodes of season 1 of Take It Easy. I'm not ending the entire show, I'm just ending season 1. I'll be explaining why I'm ending this season at 30 episodes, but that reasoning is reserved for the finale of this season. I get a lot of messages from people saying that my podcasts have really helped them, and they're like, wow, Vansh, you really seem to know a lot, and you're really mature, and your life is pretty much sorted. And as much as I appreciate the gesture, the reality is that me being mature or completely peaceful is far away from the reality. What you see on my Instagram and podcasts is a selective projection of who I am, because I only post nice things on Instagram and my realizations on this podcast. However, you barely know all the flaws I have and all the struggles I go through and all the mistakes I make through day-to-day life. When people praise about Ansh Mehra, they don't really praise me. They praise the image I've projected in front of them. And I want to be honest about this. It's like a myth, and I'm like an employee of that myth. Very few people actually know me. Not even my parents, you know, fully know me. I think only 2 to 3 people genuinely know me. And about my facts and my reality and where I've come from and how I think and how I feel. And I'm lucky that they like me for it. Do watch Shah Rukh Khan's interview on David Letterman's My Next Guest Needs No Introduction. It's there on Netflix. He talks about something similar. We see all these artists, musicians and billionaires and automatically assume that they are living a perfect life. And you know, they don't have any mistakes or anything. Because of course, they click amazing pictures. They sound so smart. But I truly feel that those images and interviews and songs and movies that we see are a rehearsed projection. I could be wrong. But you don't really know what they're doing. You don't know their flaws and secrets. Therefore, I would recommend you guys not to get influenced by anyone you do not know personally. Okay, so coming back to the topic, I am not perfect and I do not have everything figured out. And I am just as smart as you are. I would be less smart than you. If you'd ask my parents and friends, they'd tell you how ordinary I am. What you see, all my design work, all my thoughts, articles, they're just a part of me. I also fear fear. I also feel fear just like you. I also feel insecure and bored or disappointed just like everyone else. However, I've been lucky enough to learn ways how to break out of it. In the last 27 episodes, I've taught you guys ways to change your mind and thoughts, you know, things that I did. But the reality is that no matter what you learn, there will be times when you fall for a relapse. You'd forget every good advice you knew and fall back to the thought process you started with. That's exactly what makes us human, right? Even I know so much stuff, but there are a lot of days where I still feel that I'm stuck in my own thoughts. And I want to tell you that this is absolutely okay. There are relapses, and that is why I'm here to tell you that I also get relapses. And it might be fear, it might be anxiety, it might be anger, it might be demotivation, anything, but it does exist. However, I'm slowly realizing how to overcome those relapses quicker than before. How to fight back when your mind tries to pull you down, and that is exactly what this episode is going to be about. How to fight back a relapse or almost anything. Of course, this is not a professional podcast. I'll only be sharing what I feel worked for me. I still genuinely recommend every single listener of this podcast to consult a professional if you need that sort of help and guidance. Before you apply any of the mindsets or the mental models or the advice that I'm about to share in this episode. So without wasting any further time, let's get right into it. This is Ansh Mehra and you are listening to episode 28 of Take It Easy. Whatever you're trying to achieve and pursue, I recommend you to add 3 things, 3 new additions to that list. Keep doing whatever you want, but please add the 3 things I'm going to tell you. The most important thing that you can ever develop in your life is strength. Now, strength is a very vague word. That's why I want you to consider 3 kinds of strengths. And this is something that I've realized in the past 3 months. And after consciously knowing these 3 attributes, I feel that I've finally put my life into balance. I'm starting out, obviously, I haven't really achieved much in life. But because I felt like I should have known this before, I am telling you this right now. There are 3 kinds of strengths that you must develop: mental strength, physical strength, and financial strength. If your decisions ignore any one of these 3 for a long period of time, the other 2 start to lose their value. If you've been making all your decisions that guide you towards financial strength, and you know that includes big packages and big houses and big cars, and if you're physically strong as well, without mental strength, it will never be fulfilling for you. It would eventually fade away. What is the use of so much of money, you know, a beautiful face and a strong body, if you don't sleep well at night, if you don't feel happy, and if you don't have friends and family who truly love you for who you are? If you have mental strength and financial strength, but not physical strength, you wouldn't have the energy to go on for a very long time. No intelligence or money could buy even a single day of good natural health. Everybody judges you on the basis of your physical strength. And if you're weak, they always dominate you at some level. If not today, they eventually will. If you have mental strength and physical strength, but not financial strength, everyone will make fun of you. We don't live in isolation, right? We live in a society where we need to pay the bills, where freedom and experiences cost real money. You might be happy without money, but do not assume that your parents or your relationship partner or even your friends would be on the same page of thought. Log bolenge, bhai, tu college mein to bada hero banta tha, paise to kuch khas kama nahi pa raha, to kya fayda hua itne gyan aur body aur itni badhiya personality ka, tere se zyada to ye normal log salary kama rahe hain. Now, I don't know if my surroundings are similar to yours. I'm just sharing how my surroundings behave when, you know, when I get a reality check. It could be better for you guys. All of us are, you know, living in different demographics and different financial conditions. And I know I sound very harsh and rude, but this is the kind of bubble my friends and family live in. And of course, I cannot change all of them. Therefore, I decided to adapt so that I can survive happily within my current bubble. Of course, in the end, it is your choice. And not my suggestion, but your own personal preference about, you know, what you need to prioritize. Also, you need to figure out how much attention you need to give to these strengths. On the top, I feel, comes mental strength. Then comes physical strength. And then comes financial strength. Now, why do I think so? You can earn a lot of money and lose it because of bad decisions. However, if you work hard enough, you can always earn it back. You can always buy that car again. You can always get that latest iPhone next year. You know, financials are super important, but they can be regained with effort and time. Physical strength, on the other hand, cannot be regained back easily. If you lose your eyesight as a 10-year-old kid like I did, you will have to wear specs for the rest of your life. Unless, you know, you do some external LASIK treatment or whatever, but, you know, you just mess it up forever. If you spoil your liver due to excessive drinking, you will suffer 10 years from now and you will not be able to fix it on your own. If you spoil your stamina, you know, mess up your weight, it will always bite you in the butt for a long period of time. Therefore, physical fitness is much more important. If you're physically fit, you can always work with enough energy to get that money back. On the top comes mental strength. Even if you get a heart attack, you can pay doctors a ton of money to fix your arteries. It would cost you a fortune, but physical ailments can be supported through the aid of money. It will obviously not fix it as good as it was naturally, but it can actually buy you time. If you lose a hand, you know, a leg, you can still buy prosthetics. But if you lose your mind, no external doctor or medicine can fix it for you. If you lose your mind, if you lose your control of thoughts, nobody else can open your head and fix it for you. They can assist you, they can guide you, but it is only you who can truly fix it. Therefore, a strong mind comes above a strong body and a strong bank balance. I've seen countless individuals who've had a bad bank balance, horrible health, but because of their strong mind, they were still smiling and they survived, longer than they were expected. It was their strong mindset that helped them regain their health back. And once they got their health back, they could get their money back. And, I wish I could tell you about what I have seen in my family, what I've seen in the case of my father, my mother, my close loved ones, but that would be a breach of their privacy. I do get tempted sometimes, to tell you what actually is happening, but I am just waiting for my father and I to reach at least the interval of our stories. My father is only, 22 years elder to me. I think he's 44 or 45. I'm still confused about it, but he's a fantastic case study. No degree or course could have taught me more than his life case study. I mean, it's the kind of stuff you see in movies and TV shows. It is genuinely that unbelievable and frightening. However, he loves me too much, and I'm happy that he's still with us, living and surviving with courage. So now that we have come to these three things, I'd like to share some ways I've become better at focusing on these three strengths. So let's begin with financial strength first. But before discussing how you can earn good money straight out of college, I'd first like to explain what money is and what can it do. I've explained some of it in my previous podcast as well. I would recommend you to go back and listen to them. But if you're here for the first time, just doing a recap, it is very surprising to see that I had spent first or half of my life in extreme financial conditions, like bad financial conditions, and the second half being exposed to extreme abundance. I'm not rich at this current moment, but I'm blessed. I'm thoroughly blessed. And it is funny to see how we get tempted to chase things that sound expensive, but in reality are extremely cheap. Everything that is truly valuable in our life, our health, our body, our dreams, our passions, our parents, love, our ability to love other people, and everything, see sunsets and movies and all that stuff, all of this came to us for free. Think about it, your ability to taste all kinds of food, hear amazing music and conversations, all of it came to us for free. And I feel so lucky that God didn't take any of this away from me, because there are a lot of people who did not get this privilege. Now, instead of valuing these things, we chase things like cars, money and houses, things that can be purchased by money. Pursuing material wealth is amazing. I'm pro money, but it shouldn't be done at the cost of the gifts that you already have. Therefore, money plays a strong role in influencing things that are not natural. Clothes, gadgets, houses, sports cars, all of them are man-made. Therefore, they can be purchased through man-made money. However, things that are not man-made, truly powerful things like our body, mind, love, thoughts, passion, affection, cannot be purchased through man-made money. Money can influence what exists outside of you, but it would not change what lies inside of you. And I have actually, felt this. Now, balancing both the internal success and external success is extremely crucial, right? So we need to know the importance of getting money. You can't really ignore and say that, dude, I don't want money. No, you need money to survive, to sustain. There will be a lot of listeners on this podcast who are working for money, not for their passion. I'm not asking you to leave your jobs for your passion. I think I'm going to earn enough money first to keep myself stable and buy the permission to live my dream. If you closely observe all the biggest superstars and artists, even millionaires, you'd realize that they started with things that were not their passion. They started things to first get money. Money pays your bills, keeps you alive, allows you to sustain, and therefore it is important that you don't expect amazing money come out of your passion just at the beginning. That would be extremely unfair, right? You can work on your passion even if you're doing a job that is not related to it. You can slowly earn and save enough money through various streams of income that eventually gives you the buffer, the oxygen to go out and chase your dreams. Now, I can't really guarantee if this would work because, I myself haven't done this yet, and, you know, shown concrete results. I think this should be the way, but I still haven't earned enough money, you know, so my advice could be very, you know, incredible, but I surely have a long way to go. But the cost of doing wrong is less than the cost of doing nothing. I realized that I can enjoy UX design, and therefore I started preparing myself for an off-campus job right in the middle of third year, and I'm lucky to get the offers I have today. Now, most of you students have a very common question, and that is, how do I get a job with a good package, with good amount of money? I mean, that's the most straightforward way, right, to get a job. So I'd strongly recommend you to first listen to my episode 15 and 16 on internships and resumes. Apart from that, I'd advise you to maintain a strong portfolio of your work. This work shouldn't be just pictures of your work or the results. It should equally focus on the process, the thoughts, the journey, and the motivation behind your decisions. The difference between you and a senior boy or girl who has, you know, 5 years of experience is that when both of you do a project, she has at least 2 to 3 reasons that support her decision. She can list like 2-3 reasons or, you know, justifications for each of her decisions, whereas you'd say something like, you know, I did it because I wanted to do it. Now, you and that pro girl could be having the same subconscious motivation behind a decision, but since she's had 5 years of experience, she can justify her actions with more credibility. It is not the result that you need to show off in your portfolio. You need to show the process, the whole journey of your project. You know, you can check out some of my work on www.anshmehra.com. I recently uploaded 2 projects and I try to incorporate more of the process than the visuals. You know, earlier I only used to focus on the final pictures and I used to show all these fancy mock-ups and typography and colors. And I realized that that really doesn't matter, dude. All they're looking for is the process, the mindset behind all those decisions. And I've seriously got a very good response. And you need to update everything you do online. If you don't have a website, write on Medium, put it on Instagram, but it has to be there online. Once you put it on Medium, circulate it on Stories and LinkedIn. Learn Photoshop, how to make posters. You know, if Photoshop is very easy, you need to learn how to make posters for your promotion. You can learn it from YouTube. I've made a podcast on that as well. There's a YouTube channel called King Tutes Pro. You can learn it from that for free. All you need to do is invest the time. You do not know who might notice you when you're sharing all this stuff and refer you. You don't need to worry about what will happen actually. All you need to do is spread your work, throw your seeds around, and let God decide which seed grows up into a tree. But you wouldn't build that forest sitting in your room, right? Having all your experiences hidden in your mind. Nobody has the time to talk to you or call you up to judge your work. People want to judge you quickly, and internet is the best way for it. You get 10 seconds to impress someone with your online presence, so you need to make sure it counts. If you're a developer, don't just rely on GitHub. Write a Medium post about your app and add screenshots and important quote snippets of things you did in a brand new crazy way. Nobody has the patience to go through your repo. You need to make the whole process extremely easy. If you're a designer, you know, we've done this again and again. Just listen to episode 6 and 22. But let me choose something else. If you're an actor, put rehearsal videos on YouTube. Put your thoughts behind the character on the Medium. You know, put the challenges you got and how you overcame them. Don't think it's useless. Nothing is useless. No effort should go waste. Even if you've done even a single play or movie in your entire college life, write about the experience and put it on the internet and share it on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn with as many hashtags as you can related to your field and domain and see the magic it does. You get the point, right? Because these websites have extremely strong search engine optimization. If you're active on YouTube, Medium, Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, the recruiter would know that you're genuinely into your work. You'll be all over the internet. You can check out my profiles as well. You'll know how I've been secretly doing this on my Instagram, Medium, LinkedIn, and Facebook for the past 1 year. Now, once you're done with becoming good at what you do, you are done uploading articles and videos and proof everything. How do you approach the big people? LinkedIn. But I'm about to tell you some secrets that will genuinely help you get better at LinkedIn. First, decide what companies are you going to target. Shortlist the biggest, fanciest names you can remember, then head to their career sites and shortlist the job profiles you want. You need to be very specific about this. Just saying, I want to be a backend developer is not enough. You'll realize that there are 9 kinds of backend developers a company needs. You need to know exactly what you want to become in that company. Once you're done knowing the job you need, head on to LinkedIn. Now, I'd like to explain through my example. I wanted a job as a UX designer or a product designer. So I'd go on LinkedIn and in the search bar, first search hiring UX designer or hiring product designer. A lot of senior professionals edit their LinkedIn bio, and this allows you to instantly search them. Like in their bio itself, they would, you know, write something like hiring UX designer, looking for UX designer, something like that. And once you search them, go to filters, choose Bangalore or whatever city you think suits you. I am into tech, so I always choose Bangalore. You can choose India as well, so that will include everything else. Then you can also choose the companies to filter out. I don't do that because I don't want to limit my options. Now, once you get a list of these people, there are two ways to contact them. One is sending an email and one is connect request. You can send an email if you're a premium LinkedIn member. It costs around $1,800 per month. I definitely feel it's worth it once you enter your fourth year. I think, so for $1,800, I think we get 5 emails every month. And you can use these to legit send a personal message to these people with your files and portfolio. However, if you don't want to spend your emails, you can always connect on the LinkedIn platform, like normally connect. It's almost like a friend request. But when you connect, LinkedIn asks you if you want to send a note. Say yes, and in the note, write something like this. So I'm going to tell you what the script is. Hi XYZ, my name is Ansh, and I want to know if there are any opportunities available for UX designers at your XYZ company. I recently interned in XYZ, and you can see my work on XYZ, XYZ, and XYZ on www.anshmehra.com. That is it. This is the exact script you can follow. And I'd like to actually break it down to explain how this script works. Okay, we are already at 22 minutes, so I need to do this quick. Example, I'm contacting Mr. Suresh Mehra from ultipulti.com. Some random name I just made up. I'd write something like, "Hi Suresh sir." So this is to show him that you didn't just copy paste a template. You had enough respect to type it since you typed the person's name. Then, "My name is Ansh, and I wanted to know if there are any opportunities available for UX designers." Don't waste your time explaining, "I am Ansh and I am pursuing a BTech in computer science from XYZ Institute." If you are in a very fancy college, then it helps. But if you really want to get a job based on your caliber, I would recommend you to keep it short and simple and directly get to the point. Don't say, "Hi, I'm Ansh Mehra and I work on Sketch, Figma and Photoshop and UX designing." No, dude, he already knows what softwares there are in the world. And if you're stating that you're looking for UX design, then obviously you'd know how to work on these softwares. Then once you tell him what you want, you need to give him evidence to show you deserve his attention. I always add a recently interned sentence because I just added like, "I recently interned at XYZ." This shows that this XYZ company has already verified your capabilities. It adds to your credibility. The next is, "You can see my work from XYZ, XYZ, and XYZ." This is because you need to give him a reason to open your website. You need to get him excited about it. Now, if you don't have a website, send a Google Drive link to your CV or resume. It always helps to allow the person to see your work. If the link is too long, I don't know, you can figure out a way to make a tiny URL out of it. I have not really done this. I'm not sure if this is allowed. You know, I think the best way to go about this is to have an online portfolio website. You know, Google it. There are multiple ways to do this. The best way is to not confuse him or distract him with any document or CV or resume. Just have a website, a simple website from Wix.com or whatever, and keep uploading all links. If you have multiple Medium articles, just attach those links in a single web page so that it becomes easier for the recruiter to, you know, scroll around and see your work in a single platform. So it always helps you to, you know, allow the person see your work easily. Therefore, in such a short sentence, you've conveyed your purpose, your strength, and your credibility without sounding like a chatbot. I would still, you know, repeat the script once again so that you can remember. Hi, XYZ. My name is Ansh, and I wanted to know if there are any opportunities available for UX designers at your XYZ company. I recently interned at XYZ, and you can see my work from XYZ, XYZ, and XYZ on www.anshmehra.com. Also, make sure that your personal LinkedIn profile is updated as well. It needs to have everything that you've done in your entire life. See, it's that simple. You need to make it simple. And I've reached this script after numerous iterations. It sounds very simple, but in reality, it has taken a lot of thought. And you can earn good money from Medium articles as well. You just need to make a Stripe account, you know, add in your PAN details, and you can earn good money from your articles. You can Google about Medium Partner Program. You can earn money from Internshala as well. Just build up a portfolio, learn skills and apply. It's genuinely real. I've earned almost 1 lakh now in the past 1 year from Internshala clients. And you can earn money from launching your own Udemy course. You can legit make a course on anything. Cooking, acting, speaking, anything. And once it's there on Udemy, anyone can buy it till eternity. It's like a very stable source of income. Whatever you earn, make sure you spend some of it on yourself and save some of it. Go on weekends and have fun. Work from Monday to Friday, but also relax and explore places on the weekends. When I was in Bangalore for my Swiggy internship, I would go to the most fanciest hotels, talk to the manager in strong, fluent English, you know, with crisp clothes and shiny shoes and, you know, just get in. I'd see all the places I would go if I had the money. Seeing those places motivated me to work hard from Monday to Friday. They behaved like fuel for me. Trust me, there is a lot of money to make in this world. It's absolutely unbelievable. Moreover, share your success. Take your friends for a treat. Get gifts for your friends. People should feel happy when you succeed. You need those blessings and you'd feel much more happy buying gifts for yourself than for yourself. Oh my God, what did I just say? You'd feel much more happiness buying gifts for your friends than for yourself. I'm sorry for that. Moreover, don't earn money to impress others. Do it for yourself. If you're earning money to impress a girl or to impress your parents and friends, then you're in for a trap. Because the motivation to earn money is not coming from your insides. It's coming from the outside. The day you earn enough money to impress your parents or a specific person, they'll set another goal for you. If you earn 1 lakh rupees a month, they'd feel happy for the first year and then ask you to earn 2 lakh rupees a month. Or, you know, find something else. Then 3 lakhs, then 4 lakhs, and something more, then more, then more. You can do as good as you want, but if you're doing it to impress others, then the only response you'll get from them is, what next? Therefore, if you want to earn money, make sure you're doing it for yourself. For example, I want to earn money because I want to travel and I want my parents to live a happy life. I want it for them. They're not forcing me. I'm doing it out of choice. And that allows me to keep the game in my own hands. Nobody from the outside can talk me out of it because I am my source of motivation. For example, if I were to go to gym just so that I could impress that really pretty girl that I have a crush on, the day I get her attention, I would stop working on myself because I had made her my motivation. And that's a risky way to aim in life. You'd completely shut down if she ever says anything bad to you. And that is a weakness. You cannot give the key to your consciousness or source of motivation to another human being because then you lose control from your own consciousness. You're giving the remote control of your thoughts and feelings to another person. Also, word of caution, when I say girl, it's because I'm a boy. If there is a girl listening to this, you need to consider this advice from not giving your key to a boy. You do not need to, you know, for example, wear expensive clothes or act in a cool way just because, you know, a girl or a boy would want you to. If you want to impress the boy and it is your choice to become all cool and fancy, only then do it. Do not do it just because you think it will make someone else happy. Your job is to not keep everyone happy. Okay, so now we come to physical strength. Also, I would recommend you to pause in between this episode because it might be too much to take in. You can listen to this episode in phases because it obviously takes time to sink in all the info. So, I am particularly weak in the physical area. I basically have the same level of fitness I had in class 10th, so I can't really say, but there are a lot of things that I'd like to share that can genuinely help you improve your physical strength. First of all, you need to fix your meal timings. Do not skip breakfast, and as soon as you wake up, try to do some exercise. For example, I stretch and I do around 20 push-ups and, you know, 30-40 crunches, and then drink a lot of water and then go ahead for breakfast. These tiny, tiny improvements will genuinely have a massive impact in the longer run. Moreover, consult your parents and doctor and ask if you can have the 7 seeds mixture. I've been having this 7 seeds mixture daily, and it genuinely improves my overall stamina and sleep. It's completely natural, and it's available on Amazon. Like, do not buy roasted seeds, but the raw ones, because those have helped me more. But, you know, everyone's body is different, so I don't know who this is for, but it has genuinely helped me. Don't consume too much. I just eat 1 teaspoon daily and it keeps me active. And reduce sugar. Eat it only when you truly crave it, but do not indulge in it. Make sure that you buy dry fruits like walnuts and almonds, not cashews, not too many cashews. And you can eat when you get hungry in between breakfast and lunch. Have some milk and bananas if you can, but just try not to eat too much of chips and sodas. And I'm going to be focusing a lot on my overall fitness in the coming 6 months. I'm going to try doing it, of course. And I cannot really share much on this at the moment, but of course, you can always use Google. And apart from your body fitness, there are a few areas that you should definitely care about at your young age. And all these things contribute to your physical appearance, which genuinely plays a very huge role. And, you know, I think we'll start from the top. Our hair. Stop using cheap chemical products on your hair. If you want, you can buy Himalaya hair cream. It's special for hair fall and anti-dandruff. But stop using gel. It absolutely screwed up my hair. Moreover, if you have extreme dandruff like me and you're looking for a cure, you should definitely try out Patanjali's anti-dandruff shampoo. Trust me, you cannot beat that product. They have not paid me for this. I have been using their shampoo and it genuinely fixes it. And there's more. There's one medical dandruff shampoo as well. It's available at the chemist. It's like a small bottle and it has a very weird pinkish color, and that also genuinely fixes your dandruff. And it smells bad, but I use a hair cream to fix it. But nothing has helped me more than that. And you need to take care of your hair. Do not take it for granted. You can only fix it when you're young. You won't be able to fix it once it's spoiled later on. Second is your face. If you have acne issues like me, you need to make sure that you notice what triggers your acne. After noticing for 6 months, I realized that sugar and egg yolk aggravates my acne. The only thing that fixed my acne was Medimix soap. No face wash, no cream, no product worked for me as well as Medimix soap. I'm not even kidding. And these are tried and tested. That's why I'm specifying you what to do, because I know a lot of people would be frustrated by all of these issues. Also, it is the handmade Medimix soap. There's a handmade version of it. It's dark green colored Medimix, not the transparent one. Use that soap early morning when you wake up on your face and before sleep, and reduce sugar. You'd see an amazing change in your overall skin. And drink a lot of water and, you know, stay happy. It helps. Then make sure you take regular baths and use a roll-on if you sweat too much. It's a roll-on that you use on your underarms and stuff. And I buy Nivea, but you can buy whatever you want. This roll-on makes sure that you don't stink when you smell. I think everyone should use this, because people do not notice when they stink. Because for them, it's pretty natural, right? They don't feel any difference. And you personally feel very shy telling them about it. I almost always use it, but sometimes even I forget, so it's okay. But you should actually, you know, just try to use these products to keep yourself clean and hygienic, because it genuinely impacts the way people perceive you. You know, you don't want to come across as a guy who's always smelling out. And I know that all these things might feel like an expense, but they are worth it. Now, for boys in specific, you know, shaving is a big thing. It's almost like you need to shave in every 2 to 3 days. And if you have an oily, soft skin like me, you need to follow a specific way to shave your face so that you don't mess it up. Firstly, wash your face with Medimix. Then use the basic original sensitive gelit wala foam. Like, it's black in color. It's the most basic one. And that works the best. Keep it on for 2 minutes and then use a Presto ka gelit ka blade. It's disposable. And I mean, that's what I use, because I throw it after a single use. Shave slowly, and once you're done shaving, use a scrub on your face after shaving. And I do not know if this would work for everyone, but it surely worked for me. And the best scrub that I've ever used is Lotus Ka. There's this oatmeal and yogurt scrub. It's white in color and it's absolutely the best thing ever. And you need to scrub it properly. So we boys are extremely lazy about, you know, keeping our face clean. So you need to spend 5 minutes scrubbing, you know, your nose and your cheekbones and everything. You need to make sure that your face is clean after the shave. Because if you don't clean it, then it messes up with the bacteria and all the stuff that you get from your acne. And, you know, a lot of people are going to make fun of me because they also know that they're looking for this advice. No matter what people say, they will always judge you from your facial gestures and confidence. And if you know you look good, you will automatically be more confident, and that helps you raise the game. Now we come to mental strength. And I think I've done plenty of episodes on this. In fact, most of my previous episodes have been on this, so you can always go back and listen to those. Just make sure you learn how to differentiate between facts and assumptions. What you fear needs to be questioned, whether it is an assumption or a real fact. See, danger is real, risk is real, but fear is a choice. You need to ask yourself if you are behaving smart enough to understand what is real and what is not. I think this is one of the most important things I've learned, you know, gaining enough courage to become smart enough to differentiate between facts and assumptions. Most of my fears and anxieties came out of assumptions about the future. And I have had some random fears about people, jobs, my own health and diseases and I don't know what not. I had to come out of myself and see myself from a third person's, you know, Chit Swaroop Sakshi way. Credit goes to Sandeep Maheshwari for teaching me this, to understand that I was just stuck in my own negative assumptions. And when I came out of myself and saw myself as a character, I realized that, dude, it's just an illusion. And trust me, the world doesn't help much when it comes to your own personal battles. There will be times when you would want to cry, but most people would not pay any heed to it. And that's also okay. They're busy in their own lives. But you need to gain enough intelligence to get over that pain, because crying for too long is also not the smartest technique. You need to get stronger and you need to become more intelligent about knowing what is real and what is your own personal assumption. Oh, phew, that was long, dude. I think we're done. You know what? I'm about to get done with college and about to join Swiggy for like a 6-month internship. And oh my God, Swiggy. So these people are very nice. They are fantastic people. Every single one of them. I'm so happy to find, you know, like-minded people, especially my mentor, Mr. Saptarshi Prakash, amazing guy, you know, just look at his work online, you'll be inspired if you're a designer. I'm actually very excited about this because, you know, this marks a new journey for me. And by the way, we are done with the Gyan for this podcast. I'm now just ranting out, but if you want to hear more of it, that's okay. So as I was saying, I'll be finding a new home and, you know, managing my own stipend and travel, and I'm going to be making new friends and do networking and so much more. I'd surely discuss a lot of it in the next season of Take It Easy, but going away has always been hard for me. I've had a beautiful college life. I've been in love. I have been in pain. I have seen success. I've seen judgments. And it's just been so beautiful. And I love every single part of my college life. And I'd recommend all of you to love yours. In fact, save your memories. I've made a Google Keep file for every semester at college, and I record all the funny dialogues and incidents in them along with pictures. And it just fills me with delight every time I open those files. It is one of the most heartwarming things that you could do for yourself. You know, make use of internet, guys. Live every moment to the fullest. Breathe and cherish every single second you're alive. Yes, a lot of people are going to disappoint you. A lot of people will show you the ugliest of things they could do, but it's all a part of the process. You are being prepared to become the person you wish to be. And I'm going to cut this short, even though I had a lot more to talk about, but you know, I think I should leave some stuff to you guys to figure out too, right? It's not fun enough if someone else just tells you everything. However, I still hope this helped you. I'm sorry if I stretched this for too long or got all confused within the topics, because there are still 2 episodes left. I'll be completing them soon. And, you know, if you think these episodes helped you, please share this episode on Instagram, you know, as a story with your review, and tag me on @AnshMehra, because I'm having a very difficult time reaching out to new people. It's actually tough to get attention for a podcast. So, you know, the only person I can ask for help is you. And I hope this reaches to people who need it. I want to know that it's helping, because I know how it feels when you don't have help, you know, when you don't know what to do. And I just hope this improves someone else's life. And that's why I value your share and support at this point. Because I would be ending this podcast after, you know, the 30th episode, and there would be no way I would be promoting this. So I want to reach as many people as I can during the, you know, lifetime of this podcast. Also, you know, wild shot in the dark, but I always wanted to do this, and I don't know if I'll ever be, you know, successful enough to, or maybe, you know, if it'll ever be a reality, but I would genuinely want some of my inspirations to listen to my show one day. This surely includes Radhika Seth and Akshay Kumar and so many people, but, you know, it's so tough to meet these people, you know. I mean, they are busy in their own lives, and I want to be successful enough to be allowed to meet them. Like, it surprises me how much I admire these people. A lot of my friends, you know, make fun of me because, you know, I love Radhika's work so much. You know, Radhika Seth is like a self-made, you know, she's almost like a celebrity. She's in touch with all these big people, and brands tell her to post about her, like a completely game changer. If you want to point out a person who's genuinely made it on social media, it's Radhika Seth. And it's probably because, you know, there are so many things to a person's life that you barely know. And a lot of people make fun of me because it's probably because everyone likes her dope profile. But if you genuinely follow her and read her notes and her whole journey, you'd realize that she's a legend in making. I've emailed her once. I was getting too excited, but, you know, I never got a reply. And, you know, it actually makes me very sad, but I know that she's pretty busy and stuff like that. But whatever it is, you know, the universe has its own way of, you know, motivating us. And I am motivated to become successful enough to share a room with all these big people and ask them, talk to them, and finally be in touch with people who have achieved so much in life. I think I'll tag Radhika this time. I'm ending this episode right now. I'd like to apologize for anything offensive I must have said. If you think I've said something wrong anywhere, just message me on Instagram on @AnshMehra, because I know I just speak without any limits. I can go on and on. So just tell me, you know, you can email me if you think that I've said something wrong, and email me on MrBharatMehra@gmail.com. I hope you live a fantastic life ahead, and please take care of your health, mind and body. You know, I apologize if you messaged me on Insta and I didn't reply. It's because I've been focusing on my exams and my own personal life. But I still pray that God helps you to figure out all your stuff, okay? And you get what is truly good for you. This was Ansh Mehra, and you were listening to episode 28 of Take It Easy.